They shouldn't put you in jail for that. And they had an awful fight, hidden and hidden, and Mom pushed and scratched Zane's face, but Zane didn't stop. And my dad hit Mom in the face, and I ran to the phone and called 911, and I heard Zane yell and thuds, awful thuds. I think he fell down the steps. Dad came in and hit me again, and he told Mom to get his bag. He's a doctor. He told her to hold me down because I tried to fight, and he got out a syringe and stuck me. That's the truth. That's what happened.
She sat back, closed her eyes for a moment, then opened them, stared hard into his, crossed her arms defensively.
Okay.
Careful, Lee only nodded.
Did the police come?
They must have, but he gave me something, and when I woke up in the hospital, he was there, waiting. He said what I had to say, that Zane had hit Mom, hit me, hit him. That if I didn't say what he said, he could hurt me worse than he had. No one would believe me if I said different and Zane was already on his way to prison. I'd be like an only child. He took the phone out of the room and he told the nurses no one could come in and he went to get some sleep. I think they put Mom in the hospital.
Lee filed away the details, including the brother's name, Zane, the father being a doctor, the brother an athlete, must be baseball if he was going to States, and high school, older brother.
Tell me about your mother.
He never hits her where it shows until tonight. Sometimes she hits back, but it's...
Color rushed into her face. She pressed her lips together, gave Emily a pleading look.
It's all right. You just say the truth and it's all right.
It's that... I think they like it. I think she likes it. They have sex after most of the time, and then she acts like nothing happened. He buys her something, and she's like nothing happened.
She turned to Emily, burrowed in.
I couldn't tell you. I was afraid to tell you, but I was getting more afraid of not. Because when Zane goes to college, I'll be alone. Did Dad push him down the steps?
Emily nodded.
But he's going to be okay.
The boy isn't yet 16, she said to Lee. He has a concussion, a broken elbow, a seriously sprained ankle. The doctor wanted to keep him in the hospital overnight, but their father is a surgeon there, and the police where we live believed him and my sister, and he's friendly with important people, like judges. They took that boy to Buncombe. He's 15. He's hurt. He's never been in trouble. You could talk to anyone, and they'd tell you, his coaches, his neighbors, his teachers.
Why did his doctor sign him out?
Because the man who put him in the hospital said if she didn't, he would. You can talk to her. She's Dr. Marshall at Mercy Hospital.
Lee made another note. Has he hurt your brother enough for the hospital before?
He didn't let Zane go to the hospital before. He locked him in his room. Christmas, Emily, you remember? Not last Christmas, the one before.
Oh, God.
Emily closed her eyes.
Zane didn't have flu, and he didn't have a skiing accident when you were at the resort.
We came home from school, the last day of school before Christmas. Dad was home early, and when we came in, we could hear Mom crying and Dad yelling. Zane tried to stop me, but I ran back, and she was on the floor, and there was blood, and he was hitting her, and I yelled for it to stop. And Zane...
She took a long sip of Sprite.
Before... He'd make me go upstairs, sit with me. Or if it happened when we were already in our rooms, I'd go to his and he'd let me stay until it stopped. But this time, he tried to stop him from hurting her. And Dad...
She let out a hiccuping sob.
I kept yelling to stop and he... Dad turned and looked at me and he was going to hit me. And Zane pushed me back and tried to stop him. He hurt him so bad, Mr. Keller. He kept hitting him and it kicked him and she just watched. And Dad picked Zane up like over his shoulder and took him upstairs, locked him in his room. I should have done something, but I was afraid.
It's not your fault.
Even paler than she'd been, Emily brought Britt's clenched fist to her lips, kissed it.
None of it's your fault.
He broke Zane's nose and his eyes were all swollen and black and his lip was cut and swollen. I snuck him a sandwich when I could, a PB&J, but he could hardly eat.
The day after, on Christmas Eve, I heard Dad go in, and in a little while, Zane was yelling, screaming like he was hurt again. And he said, Dad said, Zane had the flu. He was contagious, and no one was allowed to see him and spread germs, even though Grams and Pop were coming for Christmas. And when we got to the resort, we'd tell the people there he'd been messing around on his bike and had a bad fall. He had to stay in the room while we went skiing. And when we got back, we had to say he fell when he was skiing.
She took the tissue Emily pressed into her hand.
You can call the resort if you don't believe me. You can call them. We go every year. They'll tell you he had the black eyes and everything when we got there. And you can talk to people where we live, to his teachers, and they'll tell you how we said he fell skiing.
What resort do you go to?
High Country Resort and Spa. We go from December 26th to the 30th. We go every year.
I went to see Zane Christmas Eve, Emily said. My sister called, said he was sick, said we had to move Christmas dinner to my place because of germs. I went to take him some chicken soup and a book I was going to smuggle in on their do not read list. A Dark Tower novel, that's all.
When she felt her throat burn, she took a swig of Coke, breathed out the helpless rage.
They wouldn't let me go up, and they left him there alone on Christmas while they came to dinner. They've cut me off from the kids recently. I don't get to see them very often. There's always an excuse.
They said you didn't want to spend time with us, that you had other things you wanted to do. We didn't believe them. Honest, we didn't, but that's what they said. Dad says you're a lazy slut.
Emily managed to smile.
Sometimes I wish.
She kissed Britt's cheek.
We have more evidence. A friend, the father of my nephew's best friend, is on his way here now. He's an EMT, and he heard Zane was hurt. He stayed with him at the hospital. Zane gave him his house key, asked him to go in and get some notebooks he'd hidden. He said he'd written it all down. They took him to prison, Detective Keller. They had to take him out in a wheelchair. If you became a cop to help people, help us.
What's the name of the friend bringing the notebooks? I need to clear him with the officer on the night desk,
he said when they both hesitated.
Dave Carter.
Give me a second.
He should call his lieutenant, Lee thought. Child Services. He should call Buncombe and get the full name of the brother. But for now, he'd play it out. The kid wasn't lying. He came back to find the girl with her head on her aunt's shoulder. She looked so damn small, so beat up.
How'd you get out of the hospital?
I snuck into another room for the phone and called Emily. She was already there, but they wouldn't tell her where I was because my father said not to. I went down the stairs and she met me. Because she believes me, believes Zane, because she said we had to tell the police. My father will hurt her too if he can.
You don't worry about that, Emily told her.
If I'm going to help you, I need your names.
It would take him about 2 minutes to find this Zane with a call to Buncombe, but he wanted the girl, the little girl with exhausted green eyes, to tell him, to trust him.
Do you believe me? Will you believe me even when my father says I'm lying?
If I didn't believe you, I'd have made calls already. I'm a detective.
He smiled when he said it.
I could find out your names and your brothers. But I didn't because I believe you. And I want you to believe I believe you.
Britt looked at Emily, got a nod.
You have to trust. I'm Britt Bigelow. My brother's Zane. My parents are Dr. Graham Bigelow and Mrs. Eliza Bigelow. We live in Lakeview Terrace. And I think he'll kill me if he can now that I've stopped lying.
He's not going to touch you or Zane again. Didn't I tell you I wouldn't let him?
The wrong Bigelow is in prison, Detective. And I'm Emily Walker.
Got someone here for you, Detective.
A uniformed officer led Dave in.
Hey, Britt. Let me have a look there.
With a messenger bag over his shoulder, Dave crouched down by her chair.
Are you hurting?
I have an awful bad headache, Mr. Carter, and my cheek hurts a lot. My eye, too.
Oh, Britt, why didn't you say? Damn it, I didn't even ask, not really. I must have some Advil or something.
Let's not,
Dave said, as Emily started pawing through her purse.
I don't know what they gave her in the hospital, but I stopped on the way.
He opened the bag, took out a bag of frozen peas.
Quick relief. You just hold that on your cheek, okay? How many?
He held up two fingers.
Two. I'm okay, Mr. Carter. I feel better since we came here.
Good to hear.
Dave rose, held out a hand to Lee.
Dave Carter. Detective Keller. Well, Detective Keller, since I had Zane's key and his permission, I don't think going in the house into his room qualifies as unlawful entry, but I'll take that lump if it comes.
He pulled several notebooks out of his bag.
I read the first entry in the one marked number one. If you can read that and do nothing about getting Zane out of that place, about putting Graham Bigelow behind bars, you aren't human.
Lee opened the first book, read the first entry. December 23rd. When he finished, he picked another entry at random. Opened the second book, did the same.
So, Britt, did your grandparents come to visit last summer?
In August, after we got back from vacation. They stayed with Emily. It used to be their house, but they gave it to her and my mom. Mom didn't want it, so Emily paid her share. We had them over on the last day for a party on the sailboat. It was really nice. Then,
she leaned into Emily again, carefully drank some Sprite.
Then after everybody left, my father got mad. He hit Zane in the stomach. He likes to hit in the stomach because it doesn't show. He said Zane embarrassed him because he's a bad sailor, and all he did was talk about baseball with Pop, and he ate too much of the food like a greedy pig. And I don't remember all of it.
That's enough.
Lee closed the book.
If you had to go in front of a judge and swear under oath, would you say everything you've said to me?
Will you get Zane out of prison if I do?
I'm going to work on that. Mr. Carter, do you remember Zane having a skiing accident? Yeah, Christmas before last. Face planted, he told me. Ah, shit. Shit.
Dave pressed his fingers to his eyes.
He didn't come around until after the first of the year, and he and my Micah are usually joined at the hip. He had a broken nose, but it was healing up. I didn't question it. But it was right after that he asked me to help him get stronger, learn to lift. Because of baseball, he said, and I didn't question that either.
I told you.
Yeah.
Lee nodded at Britt.
You did. Now Mr. Carter corroborated your statement, your aunt's, and I'm going to wake somebody up at the High Country Resort and Spa and nail it down a little more.
We stay on the executive level. They have 24-hour butler service, but I don't know the number.
I'll get it. I need to talk to the police chief in Lakeview.
Britt shook her head, cringed back against Emily.
He's a friend of my dad's. He'll...
He may be a friend of your dad's, Britt, but he's a law officer, and I've worked with him a couple times. He's not going to push this away. You have to keep trusting me, but another thing I have to do is going to be hard for you. I have to contact Child Services.
They can't take her. Emily wrapped both arms around Britt. I'm her aunt.
I'm going to push as much as I can push, but if I don't contact them, it'll be harder yet. You took the minor child out of the hospital because both you and the minor child feared for her safety and well-being, correct?
Yes.
All right. You have to let me do my work. You have to trust I'm going to do that work with the safety and well-being of Britt top of my list.
Zane.
He's right up there with you, kid. I'm going to show you a place you can wait, maybe get some rest. Can you wait here, Mr. Carter? I just have a couple more questions. Sure. One more thing. The grandparents. Not local?
Not anymore, Emily answered. My parents moved to Savannah nearly 10 years ago. You're looking for other family in case they won't let me keep them. They'd come. They'd come without hesitation.
Okay. Let me show you where you can wait.
When he settled them, he hit the break room, got coffee, brought some to Dave.
Being an EMT, I figure you can handle the coffee.
Thanks.
Jesus. Britt, she's tight with my daughter. Seeing what he did to her. What he did to Zane. You responded to the 911. No, I wasn't on, but word traveled, and fast. The kids are like family to me.
Sitting, he rubbed hard at the tension in the back of his neck.
I went down to see what I could do, if I could help. They were bringing Zane out, and they had his wrist cuffed to the damn gurney, saying he was under arrest, 3 counts of assault.
Dave drank the cop coffee without a wince.
And bigger bullshit I've never heard. I'd taken him, my son, their dates to the school dance. And what, 10 minutes after I drop him back home, he's attacking his mom? He wouldn't hit his mother or Britt. He was happy when I dropped him off, Detective. They'd had a great time.
Any drinking?
Absolutely not. Kid's an athlete. He's serious about baseball and damn good, too. He wouldn't risk getting benched for a beer, especially not before states. Jesus, you read the notebook?
I'm getting details, Mr. Carter.
Dave held up a hand, drank more coffee.
Sorry, I'm wound pretty tight right now. Zane was sober, happy. It was their first big date, double date, Zane and Micah, my boy. And his tox came back clean. I was there when Elsa read it. Dr. Marshall, the orthopedic surgeon who treated him. He might still need surgery on the elbow, and he shouldn't have been taken out of the hospital, much less to Buncombe. Elsa didn't want to clear him. He should have had overnight observation. But Graham's not only his father, he's chief surgical resident. She didn't have a choice.
You stayed with him?
Rode in the ambulance with him, Dave confirmed. Into the hospital. Stayed. Neither of his parents came down. Emily came. I called her. They didn't.
Tell me what Zane said to you.
Fueling himself with coffee, Dave went over everything he could remember, backtracked, added more detail.
All right. I might need to talk to you again, but you can go home. I'll wait with Emily and Britt. I just need to let my wife know.
Lee angled his head.
Your wife? You and Ms. Walker aren't involved? What?
Dave's face cleared for the first time with a quick laugh.
No, I've been married for 17 years. 18? One of those. I've got 2 kids. I used to work for the Walkers back when I was a teenager, and summers into my 20s. I've known Emily and Eliza forever. Emily and I, and Em and my wife, are pretty good friends.
Not friends with Eliza Bigelow?
Humor cooled out of Dave's eyes.
We don't run in the same circles as Graham and Eliza. She let that happen to her kids. Maybe she's a victim, too, but she let that happen to her kids. And her son is hurt, terrified, and in prison. She let that happen, too.
He got to his feet.
I'll wait with them.
Lee gave him directions, then sat back a minute. He'd been on his way home after a 16-hour day, thinking he might have a before-bed beer. Now it looked like more coffee with another long day to come. He turned to his computer, did a run on Zane Bigelow, his parents, his aunt, Dave Carter. He got the phone number for the resort and got to work. When Zane looked back on the worst night of his life, small details stuck. The smell of the van, metallic, covered with the sweat of fear and desperation. The sound of the wheels on the road sang misery, the impossible loneliness. Whatever Dr. Marshall had given him for pain kept it under the surface. He knew it was there, knew it would come back, but he was too numb, body, mind, spirit, to care. The guard had eyes like marbles, hard and cold. The driver said nothing. He was the only prisoner. He'd learn later his father's insistence and influence helped speed his transport, alone and at such a late hour.
Looks like you got your ass kicked, didn't you? That's what you get for going at your mother, your baby sister.
Zane didn't respond. What was the point? He kept his head down. And later, like so many things later, he'd learned the guard's marble eyes and the disgust in his voice were due at least in part to the fact that Dr. Graham Bigelow had performed surgery on the guard's son after a car accident. He couldn't find his fear, couldn't even dig down through the numb for worry. until the misery music of the tires changed to a kind of threatening grumble, and he heard the sound of the gate clanging shut behind the van. Panic bloomed in his belly, spread its tendrils into his chest, and rocks tumbled over it, sharp and heavy. He felt tears stinging the back of his eyes, and some instinct, some atavistic animal inside him, warned that if they fell, if even one escaped, it would doom him.
"Welcome home, asshole."
The guard had to help him out of the van. If he felt any pity for the trembling boy with a splintered arm and ankle boot, he didn't show it. He went through a steel door, a metal detector. He had to stand against a wall, bright lights in his eyes, his weight on his uninjured foot. He gave his name, his birth date, his address. They took him to a room, took his clothes. He couldn't undress himself with his arm splinted, so suffered the humiliation of being stripped down, the unspeakable humiliation of the strip search. They gave him clothes, orange shirt, orange pants, orange clogs, or one clog because of the boot. They had to dress him. They took him to a room. They called it a pod. It wasn't a cell like he'd imagined. It didn't have bars. It had a cot, a toilet, a sink. No window.
"You'll get up when we tell you. You'll make your bed and wait till we take you in for breakfast. You eat what we give you. Since you got your ass kicked, you'll get a check at the infirmary before you talk to the head shrink who's going to ask you about your fucking feelings. You do what you're told when you're told. Give me any shit, you'll pay for it."
Marble Eyes stepped to the door.
"Your father's a great man. You're nothing."
He went out. The door locked with a click that boomed in Zane's ears. And the lights went out. He took one limping step, feeling for a wall, ramming his shin against the side of the cot. He crawled onto it as the trembles turned to shudders, as his breathing devolved into a kind of mewling. He tried to curl up, just to hold onto himself, but he couldn't manage it. He wanted to sleep, just sleep, just sleep, but the pain broke through the surface. He let the tears come now. No one to see, no one to care. The sobs racked him, hurt his chest, his belly, his throat. But when he'd exhausted them, the panic went with them. He lay, body throbbing, spirit dead. Hours before, just hours before, he'd kissed the girl. He'd looked at the stars and danced under colored lights. Now, his life was over. The dark, the solitude became comfort. He clung to them because he began to fear what his life would become once that door unlocked again. Chapter 6. Lee ran on 2 hours sleep and black coffee. He'd made his case to his lieutenant, to the DA, to Child Services, and to the judge who'd signed Zane Bigelow's arrest warrant. Now, in Lakeview, he sat in Chief Tom Bost's office, a man he knew and, up until now, had respected.
"This isn't your case. It's not Asheville's case. It's not CID's case. It's my case."
"It was,"
Lee spoke mildly for now.
"Now it's not. You shoved that boy through the system, Tom. You cut corners and bent the rules and shoved him through when he was hurt. You called in favors, pulled strings to get him slapped into buncombe."
Red flags flew on Bost's cheeks.
"That boy put his mother, his sister, his father in the damn hospital. I did my job, and don't you come into my town and say different."
"I'm saying different."
"It's going to cost you, Lee. Graham and Eliza are half out of their minds about Britt. I don't know what the hell got into Emily Walker. I thought she had more sense. But she's going to face child abduction charges, and when Graham gets done, you'll lose your badge for being part of it."
Lee set a copy of the first entry of Zane's notebook on Tom's desk.
"Read that. Zane wrote that. You can see the date. Read it."
"Every minute you hold that girl from her parents makes it worse."
But he snatched up the copy.
"This is bullshit, Lee. That boy is sick."
"His parents are. I contacted the resort where they went on December 26th of that year. I talked to their butler, the housekeeper, the manager. You know what they all said, Tom? Every one of them? They said Zane had a tumble off his bike, broke his nose, hurt himself. He came in that way. He had to stay in his room. They were ordered by Graham Bigelow not to disturb him. What did he tell you back then, Tom?
It's a mistake. Zane had a fall on the slopes.
They told Emily and the grandparents Zane had the flu that Christmas. They wouldn't let anyone see him. Germs, Bigelow said. I've got their statements, too.
Disgust in the motion, he pulled papers out of the file he held, tossed them on Bost's desk.
I've got Britt's statement.
He tossed another.
Everything that boy wrote there is God's truth. You didn't begin to do your goddamn job on this.
Don't tell me about my job, Bost hurled back. I know Graham and Eliza.
Do you, Tom?
Chin jutted. Bost jabbed a finger at Lee.
You're trying to tell me Graham beats his wife, his kids, and they all lie to cover it? That not once until last night have we gotten a 911 from that house?
That's right. Zane started writing it down that day, the day you've got there, and he kept writing it. The punches, the slaps, the fear, the threats. And the mother, she went along. I had her 13-year-old girl tell me how after her father knocked her mother around, they'd have sex, and he'd buy his wife something special. I had that kid look me in the eye and tell me she thinks her mom liked it. Britt's been traumatized. She, damn fucking right she has.
Mild was done.
Look back, for Christ's sake. The kid calls for help, and when you get there, he's put her out so you can't talk to her. Zane's lying at the bottom of the steps, broken arm, concussion, torn ligaments, but you don't listen. The two adults gave the same story. Two people I know.
I'll give you that, but you don't take a statement from the boy? You don't question the father demanding his son's arrest, how he pushed it through? How you helped push it through? How he wouldn't even give the kid a night in the hospital? Didn't arrange for a child advocate, a lawyer, nothing. Just lock him up. He said it was probably drugs, but the kid's clean. Did you bother reading the tox results?
Lee yanked another paper out of the file, slapped it on the desk.
Clean.
He snatched up one of the papers.
This is what Britt says happened last night. Read it. Put it the hell together. I've known Graham for over 20 years, for God's sake. Eliza even longer. I've had dinner at their house. I've been in that house, Lee, and never saw a sign of this.
Read it.
When he had, Tom rose, turned to his window.
I believed him. You weren't there. You didn't see them. I believed him.
If you'd asked me 24 hours ago to name the perfect family in Lakeview, I'd have said the Bigelows. He raked both hands through his hair.
Most would have said just the same. God damn it, Lee, they'd have said the same. Now I think of little things, Jesus Christ. How he'd go on about how proud he was of Zane, but then cut that down just a little. How he had to keep on him to study because he had pipe dreams about playing pro baseball. How he had to be nagged to do chores, or how he talked back to his mother. Little things. You don't have kids yet, Lee. You expect some griping about kids, especially teenagers.
He turned back.
Eliza was president of the damn PTA. She... God!
There's more you'll want to read. I'm leaving copies for your files.
Lee got to his feet.
I'm going to Lakeview Terrace and arresting Graham Bigelow on charges of child and spousal abuse, on assault, on child endangerment. I'm arresting Eliza Bigelow on charges of child abuse and child endangerment. This was just a heads up.
I believed him.
There was a plea in the tone now.
I believed Zane was a danger to them and to himself.
You were wrong. Zane's going to be processed out, and his record will be expunged. Emily Walker will have temporary custody of both minor children. I'm going to do everything I can to make that permanent. Read the rest, he said,
and walked out. 10 minutes later, with his usual partner and four uniformed cops, Lee rang the bell in Lakeview Terrace. He pegged the guy who answered as a lawyer and held up the warrants.
Asheville Police.
I'm the Bigelow's attorney. I have calls in right now to your captain, to Asheville's mayor. You're holding a minor child against her parents' wishes.
Read the warrant.
Lee muscled by him into the big, high-ceilinged foyer and straight into the living room where Graham Bigelow surged to his feet.
Graham Bigelow, you're under arrest for child and spousal abuse, child endangerment, assault.
As he spoke, Lee spun Graham around to cuff him. Graham spun back, punched out.
Add resisting and assault on a police officer. You have the right to remain silent.
Graham, cooperate, the lawyer ordered, while Lee read Graham his rights. Don't say anything. I'll have this dealt with quickly.
But Graham ignored him, punched out again until two uniforms moved in to restrain him.
You can't do this.
Eliza, her face bearing bruises, clutched her hands between her breasts.
This is insane. Zane...
That boat won't float, Mrs. Bigelow, and you are under arrest for child abuse, child endangerment, accessory to assault, for lying in a police report.
She batted him away as he Mirandized her.
Don't you touch me, Graham!
Eliza, try to stay calm, say nothing. It's not necessary to cuff her,
the lawyer insisted.
Disagree,
Lee said, and did so. It gave him enormous pleasure to perp walk her out of the house, to see neighbors come out to stare, to put a hand on her head to load her into the car. He had Graham loaded in a separate car. No more talking, no more coordinating stories, no more making their kids' lives a living hell.
We will have your badge for this, the lawyer warned, and file a lawsuit that will bury your department and you personally. Yeah, you try that. Don't attempt to speak to my clients. They have nothing to say. Fine. They can sit in a cell until you work that out. I've got somewhere else to be anyway.
Zane didn't have to make the bed when they told him to get up. He'd lain on top of the covers. He hadn't slept. He tried to eat breakfast without thinking about it, without looking up or at any of the other prisoners. Some of them talked. Some talked trash. Some ate like they were starving. Some barely ate at all. The big room, like a dining hall, he guessed, echoed a lot, the dull beat of plastic spoons and forks against the plates, the scrape of chairs, the mutter of voices. Somebody swiped the biscuit off his plate. He didn't care, and his lack of objection earned him a kick in his ankle boot under the table and a snicker. After breakfast, they filed out as they had filed in. They took him to the infirmary. The doctor there read a chart. He guessed somebody had sent one from the ER. He frowned a lot, then asked a lot of questions. Blurred vision? No. Headache? Yes. He frowned more when he took off Zane's shirt and saw the bruises on his belly, his ribs. Asked more questions. He took off the boot, examined the ankle, elevated it, put ice on it as he examined the splint. More questions. He probed gently at Zane's nose, his cheeks, under his eyes.
Was your nose broken previously?
Yes.
How?
My father's fist.
The prison doctor looked directly for a long time in Zane's eyes.
Does your father beat you?
Yes.
Have you reported the beatings to the authorities?
He's the authority.
He thought he heard a sigh. A male nurse had to give him a sponge bath because he couldn't manage a shower.
You should have been kept at the hospital overnight for observation, for pain management. I'm going to recommend you be transferred back under Dr. Marshall's care.
They won't. My father's chief surgical resident. He wants me here.
He gave Zane a crutch. He could only use one because of the splint, but it helped. So did whatever he gave him for the pain.
I'm going to have you taken back to your room for rest. Dr. Lorett, the center's therapist, will come to you later this morning. Keep your ankle and your arm elevated.
So he went back to the solitude, the quiet. He could hear things through the door. Voices, movement, snapped orders, maybe someone dragging a bucket and mop. He drifted a little. Not really sleeping, but a zoning out, back in, back out. When he heard the locks, he closed his eyes. He hoped the therapist would think him asleep, just leave him alone. He didn't want to talk about it. He'd exhausted everything he had to say already in the infirmary. But he felt the bed give under someone's weight. Opened his eyes. He saw a man who looked as tired as he felt, one who hadn't shaved in a couple of days. Brown hair and eyes, a suit and tie.
Zane, I'm Detective Keller, Asheville PD.
A cop, he thought. Another cop. And closed his eyes again.
Zane.
He felt a hand on his arm, not restraining, just making contact.
I'm here to take you out.
Out where?
Out of here. Zane, your sister came to see me.
His eyes flashed open again.
Britt? Is she okay? Is she... She's okay. She's really smart, really brave. Your aunt brought her to see me last night.
Emily. Britt got to Emily. Now he squeezed his eyes shut against the tears.
And they got to me. Zane, Dave got your notebooks. I read them. I read every page. I'm sorry I couldn't get you out sooner. It took some time.
And in those brown eyes, the stranger's eyes, Zane saw what he'd seen in Dave's. Belief.
I'm going to get out on bail? No, just out. The charges are dropped. We can talk later, okay? Let's get you out. I've done all the paperwork so we can just get you dressed and go.
He started to shake. Couldn't stop.
I can leave. I can just leave. Try some good, easy breaths,
Lee told him and took his hand.
Just easy breathing. You should never have been here, Zane. Now I've got some clothes for you, or Emily got them for you. She got new, hope she got the sizes right. She thought you wouldn't want to wear whatever you had on when you came in. We went for sweatpants,
he continued, talking casually as he got the shopping bags off the floor.
A button shirt, boxers, sandals.
I don't understand.
I know. Let me give you a hand, help you change.
It wasn't so embarrassing because the cop kept talking as he changed the orange pants for sweats, the orange top for a blue shirt, slipped the sandal onto his good foot.
Pants are a little short, but they work.
They said I had to.
You don't. Come on.
He got an arm around Zane, helped him stand, helped him with the crutch. He picked up the bag, walked Zane to the door, banged twice. The door opened. The guard stepped back. He smelled piney cleaner, maybe bleach. He knew he was shaking again, but the cop didn't say anything.
Who are you? Detective Keller. Lee. I'm Lee.
Graham will stop you. He'll...
He won't. I arrested him. And your mother.
Both Zane's knees buckled. Lee just held him up, kept walking. Slow, but kept walking.
Breathe now. Keep that easy breathing going. He's not going to hurt you or Britt again. You were smart to write it down, Zane. That was smart.
Nobody stopped them. Guards opened doors, let them pass through without a word. Then the sun was in his eyes. He saw the gate. And through the gate, he saw Britt, saw Emily. He wanted to run, tried to walk faster.
Easy. We'll get there.
He hurt her. He hit her. Her face.
She's going to be fine. She's got a good story to tell you. She busted out of the hospital. You got a hell of a baby sister. Just a few more steps.
They called his name. Emily was sobbing and calling. But Britt didn't cry. Not yet. She just kept calling his name. The gates clanged open, and when he walked through, they surrounded him.
Oh, baby. Oh, Zane. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Emily lifted his face, stroked her fingers over him.
I'm so sorry.
When he only shook his head, she held him again, held him and Britt close and tight.
Let's go home,
she said.
I can't go back there. Please, please, I can't go back there.
No, honey, no.
To the lake house. Grams and Pop should be there by now. We're going home. Our home now. I'm going to take care of you now. Here, you and Britt sit in the back. I'll ride up front with Lee. Lee, who I owe a really big home-cooked meal to, a really good bottle of wine, and hell, sexual favors if he wants them.
He laughed, shook his head.
Just doing my job.
They're my life now. You saved my life.
They helped Zane into the car, and Britt cuddled up against him.
Does it hurt?
He gave the hand that held his a squeeze.
Not anymore.
Lee listened to the siblings talk, fill each other in. Resilience, he thought, thy name is youth. Both kids would have some hard bumps yet, need some therapy, he imagined. But they'd be okay. Zane actually laughed when Britt told him about sneaking out of her hospital room in her bare feet. Lee noted she, for now anyway, edited out the part about her father being there, threatening her when she woke. Just as Zane did his own editing.
Was it awful in there, in that place?
No, it wasn't so bad.
For a second, Zane's gaze met Lee's in the rear view.
Not much different than being locked in my room back at the house.
Lee took us to a shelter for the night. Well, it was really morning by then. It was sad, but not. A lot of women and kids in there who get hurt at home, like us. But it gives them a safe place. They were nice to us. Emily said we're going to make a donation in all our names, like a thank you.
I guess she can't give them sexual favors.
With a big, rolling laugh, eyes sparkling with tears in that laugh, Emily looked back at him. Smartass.
Emily, don't be sorry. Don't ever be sorry.
She reached back for his hand.
You either.
He settled back, his good arm around his sister. He had a bad moment when he saw the lake, but he pushed it away because the car didn't head toward Lakeview Terrace, but the other side. The safe side. He saw the water, the woods, the cabins, the flowers, the boats, and then the rental car in Emily's driveway. His grandparents on the front porch, already running toward the car. They cried. Zane guessed everybody would cry for a while off and on.
I'm going with Lee for a little while, Emily told him. I'll be back. With pizza. I think it's pizza night.
Could I, Detective Keller, could I talk to you for a minute first?
Zane asked.
Sure.
Okay, everybody in the house,
his grandmother took over.
Let's make a picnic lunch. Come on, sweetie.
She drew an obviously reluctant Britt toward the house.
You didn't say what you arrested them for. For what they did to you and your sister.
Eliza didn't hit us.
First name, Lee noted. Not our mother.
She put those grooves in your face.
Zane touched the scratches with his fingertips.
I guess so. It's hard to remember.
She let it happen. That makes her complicit. She abused you, Zane, just like Graham did.
Zane wanted to believe. God, he wanted to believe.
He knows a lot of people. He can get really good lawyers.
Trust me.
Lee gave him a steady look that eased the cramping in Zane's gut.
I'm pretty good at my job. Emily's going with me because I think she can help convince your mother to tell the truth.
Then she won't go to jail, but...
A lighter sentence if she tells the truth, cooperates. But she's not going to be able to take you away from Emily or your grandparents. For one thing, both you and Britt are old enough to choose. For another, we're going to prove she's unfit.
You don't need to worry about this.
Will you come back and tell me what happens?
Yes. Are you prepared to go to court? To stand before a judge or jury and tell what happened?
Yes, I want to.
It rushed through him, that want, like a wave of strength.
I want to look him in the face and say what he did. I want to.
Good, because you're going to get your chance. I've got to get to it now.
Sir, thank you. Thank you for getting me out,
for keeping Britt safe. I'm never going to forget it.
You take care of yourself, Zane. Let's get you inside so your grandparents can fuss over you.
They're good at it.
Sometimes I'd imagine we could live here, he said as Lee helped him up to the porch. After one of the times, I'd think what it would be like to live here.
Now you will.
He opened the screen door.
Can you make it the rest of the way?
Yeah, I can make it.
I bet you can.
I bet you will, Lee thought.
Tell Emily we gotta get moving.
They talked about it from every angle on the drive to the station house in Asheville, and while Lee's impression of Emily as a tough woman who handled herself only strengthened, he still hesitated at the door of the interview room.
You're sure you want to do this?
Lee.
Emily laid a hand on his arm.
I am doing it.
It may not do any good other than getting it out of my own craw, but I'm doing it.
When you're finished, or you've just had enough, bang on the door.
Got it.
He opened the door, signaled the cop in the room to come out. Emily walked in, and the door closed behind her. Eliza sat at a small table, back straight, cuffed hands folded on the table. Her face carried the night's violence, but her eyes, Emily noted, burned with angry pride.
It's about damn time.
Her stomach hurt. Emily noted it with a detached interest as she sat across from her sister.
It really is, isn't it? I've been in this hellhole for hours. I'm being treated like a criminal, and they won't tell me where Graham is, what's happening. I need you to find out. My lawyer assures me he'll have all these ridiculous charges dismissed, and at the very least, we'll be released on bond until we can clear our names. But in the meantime, I need some of my things. I'll give you a list.
Fascinating, Emily thought. She's exactly the same as she's always been. But I'm not.
No, you won't. You're under the mistaken impression I'm here to help you. I'm not. And the fact you haven't asked about your children only cements that. My children, and their hardly helpless babies, are conspiring against me, against Graham. Zane's dangerous, Emily. You have no idea what—
Shut up!
Eliza's head snapped back when Emily lashed out with the two words. Another word against Zane, one goddamn single word against that boy, and I walk away.
You'll have no one. I know what happened last night, what happened over Christmas year before last. I know everything, so don't bother with the show, Eliza.
To help push her temper under control, Emily sat back. They've allowed me to come in and speak with you.
It's just you and me. They can't listen. It's against the law. I need to know why. Why you'd do this to Zane and Emily. Why you'd let Graham do this to them. To you. I need to know why.
Stop being an idiot and do something useful for once. I need my skincare products. The fact that you'd take the word of a couple of recalcitrant teenagers over your own sister just proves what a fool you are.
Cut the crap. I'm not getting anything for you, doing anything for you.
Worried about your face, Eliza? Your skin tone under the black eye and bruises? Just think what it's going to look like after a few years in prison.
I'm not going to prison.
But her lips trembled.
You are. How long and what kind depends on what you do. What you say when the police come in.
Our lawyer—
Stop right there.
To push the point, Emily shot up a finger.
That's your first mistake, and it's a big one. You're not stupid, so think a minute about sharing a lawyer with the man who gave you that eye. You've got a chance, but it won't hold for long. You better get yourself your own lawyer. And the one thing I will do is give you the names of a couple of good criminal lawyers I found when I thought I'd need them to help Zane. He won't need them now.
Zane needs to be locked up. He—
Don't!
As Emily pushed to her feet, panic rang in Eliza's voice for the first time.
Don't leave me here!
Then stop the bullshit.
How do I know you're not recording this?
Rising, Emily took off her shirt, turned a circle.
You and me, Eliza.
Graham pays the lawyer, and who do you think he'll represent if it comes down to choices? Make yours,
and when I walk out of here, I'll contact one who'll represent you. She put her shirt on, sat again.
We were raised in the same house by the same people. We were raised to respect ourselves. Why have you let Graham abuse you, your children? Why didn't you come to me, to anyone, for help?
You don't understand anything, and it's our business, our marriage. We love each other.
A man who hits you doesn't love you.
Oh, for God's sake!
Eliza actually cast her eyes toward the ceiling.
Always so ordinary. Always.
Face alive again, Eliza leaned toward her sister.
I am not ordinary.
Graham and I have passion, something else you don't understand. You married a loser, then couldn't even keep him.
His so-called passion put you in the hospital.
Things went too far. He isn't allowed to hit me in the face. That's the agreement.
Honestly, Emily thought, she'd honestly believed she couldn't be shocked again. Yet she was.
You have an agreement about where he's allowed to hit you?
And when we put this mess behind us, he'll have to make breaking the agreement up to me. But there were circumstances.
She hadn't believed it, not really. Hadn't believed Britt, not in her heart, about that single, sick, sorry thing.
You like it. You get off on it.
Don't be such a prude. We have passion. Even after nearly 18 years, we have real passion for each other. He has a demanding, stressful career, and he needs that passion at home. You think you can judge me? Look at what I have. The biggest, most beautiful house in Lakeview Terrace, vacations wherever I want to go, a husband who buys me gorgeous jewelry, an exciting sex life.
She tossed up her hands, looked at her sister with a kind of cold pity.
What have you got, Emily? An old house, a bunch of bungalows you have to rent out, and no man who wants you.
They sat, Emily thought. Debated this with her battered-faced sister in prison garb, with a police guard on the door. And still Eliza saw herself as superior in every way. And the single thing Eliza had that Emily had envied hadn't made Eliza's list.
You know, Eliza, there's something else you have you didn't put on that list. Two children.
I never wanted them.
She shrugged them off as she might an old sweater.
I kept my part of the agreement. Two children. And I did everything perfectly. They had everything. Good clothes, a good school, dance lessons for the girls, sports for the boy, music lessons for both. Though Zane's pathetic there. Healthy meals, discipline, education, and the proper amount of recreational time.
Yes, yes. Yes, she could still be shocked, Emily realized. They're part of the agreement.
How would it look if we had no children? A man in Graham's position needs to present the right image.
So they're part of the image. It didn't matter to you when he hit Zane?
A disrespectful child needs to be punished. Zane's nearly grown in any case.
So you've basically finished with him.
He would have been sent to the right university, given every opportunity. He'd have studied medicine, become a doctor. Now?
She shrugged again, another old sweater discarded.
I have no idea what Graham will want to do. We'll have to discuss it.
You and Graham will no longer have anything to say about either of the children. They're with me now.
Please, as if any court would take them from two parents of our reputation and status.
Exactly. Your reputation and status are shredded. The cops know everything.
Teenagers' words against ours.
There's also the statements from the staff of the resort, where you took Zane after Graham beat him. Didn't think of that, did you? She added as she saw the flicker in Eliza's eyes.
Didn't consider that lie might come back to bite your sorry ass one day.
And there's so much more, but I'll leave that to the police to tell you and whatever lawyer you go with. You may have a chance to make a deal, to plead down some of the charges against you. Either way, when you go to court on this, I'll be one of the people testifying against you and against Graham. Eliza's face went hot under the bruising.
You were always a bitch. Always jealous of me. That's what this all comes down to. You've always been jealous because I'm prettier, popular. I married a doctor.
No, Eliza, in fact, I never was. And now I can't even feel pity for you. I came in here to try to convince you to tell the truth, to make some sort of deal so you only spent a few years rather than a decade or more in prison. But after this, I just don't care. I won't wish you good luck, Eliza, she said as she rose, because I don't. She read fear clearly, tilted her head. I wonder, did you and Graham have an agreement on what you'd do if you ended up like this? Did either of you consider it might fall apart? And what you'd do when it did? Now she shrugged. I bet he's thinking about it now. Turning, she lifted her hand to bang on the door.
Contact the lawyer.
Emily glanced back. Which?
The one you have. I want my own lawyer.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that, Eliza. It's the last thing I'll do for you. She banged on the door, and when it opened, left without looking back. It took time, but Lee didn't mind keeping Graham waiting. The DA pushed hard for holding him without bail and used the two minors, seriously injured and in potential jeopardy, to good effect. It hadn't hurt to have Chief Bost speak out. So he'd bought a little time, time enough for Eliza Bigelow's new lawyer to catch up, to push for a deal. By the time he walked into interview, his gut told him he had it solid. Just like it told him Bigelow probably hadn't been fully, what you'd call, forthcoming with his attorney. He started the recording, sat.
You'll address your questions to me, the lawyer told Lee. Sure. As you're aware, Mrs. Bigelow has her own attorney. I've just come from speaking to him and her. She rolled on you, Bigelow. Got herself a deal. Spousal privilege does not apply, Lee interrupted, if the communication between spouses pertains to the planning or execution of a crime. Mrs. Bigelow opted for a reduction in charges. Can't blame her.
Graham leaned over to murmur to his lawyer.
Mr. Bigelow wants to speak with his wife. You'll have to take that up with her lawyer and the warden of the North Carolina Correctional Institution for Women, who will be hosting her for the next 5 to 10. You know, she might have slipped by with 3 to 5 if it wasn't for her part in lying to have her severely injured minor son locked up. That and holding down her minor daughter while her husband pumped the kid he'd just knocked around with a sedative so she couldn't talk. That upped things. Your client, on the other hand,
Lee opened his file.
He's going for the full ride.
We will contend that Eliza Bigelow was coerced, and due to her own injuries inflicted by her son, was emotionally and physically compromised.
You can try that, but the shrink cleared her. Oh, she's got issues, but once she decided to tell the truth, a whole lot came out. One being striking his minor son in the stomach with the son's baseball bat after a game your client deigned to attend, and wherein the minor son had the nerve to strike out. He was 11. That's what we like to call assault with a deadly. My client denies any and all charges. We've filed for another bail hearing. Yeah, I got that notice. Before you do, let's just move ahead a few years. I want to be sure your clients fully informed you about the events taking place from December 23rd to December 30th, 1998.
Lee took papers from the file as he spoke.
How on December 23rd of that year, your client's two minor children came home from school to find their father once again hitting their mother. On this occasion, the minor son attempted to stop the assault and was in turn beaten unconscious. My client refutes that allegation, and in the strongest terms. The minor child, 14 at this time, was subsequently locked in his room, initially denied medical treatment for his injuries, which included a broken nose, bruised ribs, black eyes, a concussion. The nose, the good doctor here later set, without any pain medication. The child was also denied food until the following day.
It's obvious Zane is suffering from some sort of mental breakdown, the lawyer began.
You got kids, counselor?
That's hardly relevant.
Humor me. I have 2 sons, 18 and 20. Keep them in mind when you read these. Apparently, Dr. Bigelow didn't want to miss his holiday trip that year, despite his son's condition. I have statements from several members of the staff of the High Country Resort and Spa, where the family stayed from December 26th through December 30th.
With his eyes on Graham's, Lee pushed them across the table.
Kid was supposed to have the flu. That's the story they told the family when they kept him locked up over Christmas. What you're reading is the story they told the staff at the resort.
Graham leaned over again, but the lawyer held up a hand to hold him off.
A boy recovering from an illness might easily fall off his bike. And here are the statements from neighbors, teachers, the chief of police of Lakeview, the miner's aunt. How does a kid get the flu, fall off his bike, get confined to his room at the resort, and manage to fall off his skis?
Lee shoved over more papers.
Then there's Mrs. Bigelow's statement confirming the beating, the confinement, the conflicting stories, and this.
He laid a copy of Zane's first notebook entry in front of the lawyer.
Written by a 14-year-old boy in fear and pain. The details all match. That's the night he started writing it out, Dr. Bigelow. The night Zane started documenting your systematic abuse. I need to consult with my client. This interview is over. You can consult with your piece of shit client all you want. I'm making it my mission in life to see he's put away for the maximum sentence allowed by law. My goddamn mission. I'll bury you. All of you. Be quiet, Graham. Don't say anything. You took their childhood. Their safety. I gave them life. You gave them terror and pain. They owe me for every breath they take, and it's my decision, mine, to decide how to raise them. Not anymore. That boy thinks he can defy me? He's lucky I didn't put him in the ground. Graham, enough. This interview's over, Detective. Your lawyer is going to start thinking deal, pleading all this down. Not going to happen.
Lee jabbed a finger on the copy of Zane's notebook page.
My mission in life. I'll have your badge. You won't be able to get work as a fucking mall guard when I'm done. Yeah.
Lee switched off the record, strolled out. It took time. Justice takes her time. But in just under a year, he lifted a